Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Find everything you need to kick off your fitness journey at michaelmurphysports.ie.
A very good evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up on tonight's programme, we'll be speaking with Anthony Gorman about the League of Ireland Premier Division as we look forward to the weekend's games involving Finn Harps and Derry City. Also, Donegal boxer Brett McGinty looks ahead to his fifth professional bout, which is on Saturday week in Doncaster, England. And we'll be speaking with the Donegal ladies manager, Maxie Kern. They play Armagh in the Ulster final this coming Sunday in Clonus. We'll get the thoughts from the Donegal boss on how preparations are going very soon indeed. And it's with Gaelic games we're going to begin and look ahead to a fixture which is taking place on Sunday week. It's the 29th of May. It is, of course, the Ulster Senior Football Championship final, where Donegal and Derry will clash in the decider. It's a repeat of the final from 2011, which of course Donegal won on that occasion. It's been a long time since Derry have been back in the decider. Donegal, of course, are looking to reclaim the title since 2019. Well, the Ulster GAA held a press conference earlier today, a media event earlier this afternoon, ahead of the big decider. Tom Comack went along for Highland Radio Sport, where he spoke to Donegal manager Declan Boner, and first of all, got the latest on the injury front and how things are shaping up ahead of the final.
At the minute we're okay, Tom. Everyone's come through the last couple of weeks of training. We still have a number of sessions left, so yeah, more or less clean bill of health, bar Oisin, who's just
Oisin Gallan,
who's just maybe a couple of weeks away, but no, he'll not be long before he's back on the pitch. But unfortunately for him and us, that he'll not be available for Ulster final.
Yeah, so you're in real good health heading into what, another Ulster final, and I suppose that was the goal, that was the target at the start of the year, you know, because Donegal people and Donegal footballers are used to getting to Ulster finals.
Oh, listen, it's no mean achievement to get there again, Tom. It's you know, even though we've been fortunate enough over the years to get into numerous Ulster finals, we don't take it for granted and we don't take it lightly. And you know, when you're there, you want to go on and win it, and that's for sure. That's what we'll be, you know, we'll be trying over the next number of days and training sessions now to get our end of it right and to get that performance that's going to be required to win it.
Yeah. And so far, is it a case of a bit like the curate's egg, good, bad, and maybe indifferent, or mostly good?
I don't know, listen, you know, Ulster matches are always difficult, and you know, Armagh game, yeah, you'd be happy with a lot of things that we've done against Armagh. Cavan, we knew we're going to bring what they always bring, and you know, we found that out in 2020. So, you know, I thought we managed the game well, especially in the second half. The goals came at a crucial stage for us, but again, semi-finals just to get over the line. So, yeah, we know we're going to need a more consistent performance now against Derry, who have been very, very impressive in their two games to date.
Yeah, is it true to say that probably there seems to be an incremental improvement in Donegal from Armagh to Cavan? And I know Cavan really put it up, Kane. They came out all guns blazing. You know, is that probably the fact that it's the first time that you have had the full squad together and the full team together and, you know, your best selection together?
Yeah, listen, the way the game's gone anyway, Tom, it's not anymore about 15 starting. You have to look in the way up what that start's going to look like, what that last quarter's going to look like, and who's going to be coming off that can make a telling contribution coming off the bench, and that's going to be vitally important on Sunday week. So it's going to take a squad effort. We're fortunate enough that we have, and hopefully these players stay on the pitch, that you know, there's huge competition for places there at the minute. There's huge energy and intensity at training sessions, and every player's putting their hand up to get that jersey and also finally, and that's what you expect, and that's what you want as a team manager.
Talk to me about Derry. You mentioned them. Are you surprised they're in the final?
No, absolutely not. You know, we know we played them last year in Championship football, and you know, we got a late score to get us over the line, and did a very consistent league campaign. Unfortunately, for them, that, you know, they came up short against Galway and probably, you know, won half football. But you know, other than that, there they, you know, they were consistent, and they, you know, they won, I think, 6-3-1. Out of their seven matches. So it's a team that's been fairly consistent in terms of personnel also, and they have quality players, and there's no doubt about that there. Down through the years, you know, by the standard of club teams in Derry, and you know, by the schools and underage, they're you know, a real strong GAA county, and with a lot of quality coming through. So it's no surprise, to be quite honest. I knew Monaghan and Tyrone were always going to be a difficult game, but you know, with the ease that they got past those two games would tell you that we're in for a serious challenge on the 29th.
Yeah, does it, you know, cause you sleepless nights, the fact that, you know, they beat Tyrone by 11, the reigning All Ireland champions. But Monaghan last week by 4 blew them away in the first half, really.
Oh yeah, exactly. Yeah, listen, I mean, they are the form team. There's no doubt about it. We're going to have to bring our best performance to the table on the 29th, and the players that will be fortunate enough to get that opportunity will need to be at the levels. And as I said, training has been going well, and there is an edge definitely to what we're doing, and that needs to be there. And but listen, it's still a challenge that we're really looking forward to, Tom. And you know, it's where you want to be. Clonus, Ulster, finally. There's no better place to be. And we're just waiting and chomping at the bit now.
Yeah, similarities been made with Derry and Donegal in 2011 and 2012. I know you were an observer then and a supporter then. You know, Donegal came from Division 2, you know, came from nowhere, had a sensational hunger and appetite. You know, is it about matching Derry's hunger and appetite?
Yeah, listen, that's part of it for sure. And then it's around what you do with the ball, you know, and the work rate around that. And, you know, yeah, naturally enough, as I say, it's going to be, yeah, they're similar pattern in terms of how to play also. But listen, it's going to be an interesting match. There's no doubt about that there. And to me, it probably will go down to the wire. And as I say, contributions, and I mean big contributions coming from the bench, is going to be vital.
Most people have the opinion that, you know, both teams can, you know, are quite defensive, obviously, and hit teams on the break. And, you know, they have that defensive system off pretty well. So it's going to be pretty close, isn't it? People expecting a low scoring game.
I don't know, Tom. I think, you know, Derry have, you know, what they've got last at 3-12, and a big score against their own first day out. They're getting the scores, they're getting goals, and you know, we had 116 last day out. So yeah, no, listen, I think it's going to be a fascinating game. There's no doubt about that there. But I think you'll see plenty of scores.
Scored quite a lot of goals in their game so far, right through the league as well. So, and they depend on those goals. So obviously that's going to be a task, obviously, for your defence.
Yeah, and it's natural enough. You know, any day you go out, you want to make sure that we limit the opportunities for goal opportunities, and that's no different going into. But no, listen, it's going to be small margins. You know, a lot of things you know, can go either way, and free taking. You know, we've got to be nailing those, and you know, defensively we've got to be good. And yeah, it's going to be around the whole game plan package, and delivering that on the day that's going to get us over the line.
There you go, that's Tom Comack in conversation with Donegal manager Declan Bonner ahead of that Ulster senior final. The date of that game is, of course, Sunday week, the 29th of May. We could possibly have two Donegal teams in finals that day, because preceding the senior game will be the Minor Football Championship final. The two semi-finals are on this coming Saturday, and Donegal are taking on Tyrone in the second semi-final at Celtic Park in Derry at 7 o'clock. Whoever wins there will be going to Clonus the following week, and it's the same situation in the first semi-final. Derry up against Cavan at 5 in Athletic Grounds. Possibly a Donegal-Derry double-header on Ulster final day in Clonus, but I'm sure Cavan and Tyrone will have something to say about that as they head into the weekend's games. But it's ladies first this weekend. Donegal, of course, are chasing a first title since 2019 when they clash with Armagh in Clonus for the right to be provincial champions. Armagh are the holders, having beat Donegal in last year's decider in Omagh. Maxi Kern says that his side were disappointed with the outcome that day, and it still resonates with the ladies, who had a convincing win over Cavan in the semi-final. Armagh were also comfortable winners against Monaghan in their last four encounter. Just days out from the game, I caught up with the Donegal manager to see how preparations have been going. So, Maxi, we've got an Ulster Senior Ladies final to look forward to this coming Sunday in Clonus. Before we look at that, both sides, you had a big one against Cavan the last day. Armagh had a huge one against Monaghan. Is that evidence that there's a gulf now between the top two sides and the rest of Ulster, Maxi?
Yeah, look, I think it probably is, and I think it's been there for a number of years, to be honest. Look, you know, we've ourselves and Armagh have competed in the last, what, four or five Ulster finals, you know, when we've both been in the competition. So, you know, and I think we've all had pretty comfortable semi-finals, maybe with the exception of our semi-final in 2019. So, yeah, look, you know, Armagh have been, you know, they've acquitted themselves really well in the senior championship the last number of years, and even though they've been playing Division 2, you know, they're probably a top 6 team in the country. So, you know, the Monaghan and Cavan are probably that wee bit further back. They're a bit in transition. So, yeah, look, Armagh are a team at the peak of their powers, and you know, they'll they're there in merit.
What can you take out of having had such a big victory in the semi-final? How does that put you, and what sort of footing does it give you going into the final, Maxi?
Yeah, look, coming back off the back of the National League final defeat against Meath, you know, it was important for us to hit the ground running. And the previous year against Cavan, we gave them an awful head start of the game. We were 1-6 that point down after, I don't know, maybe 15 minutes. So it was important for us that we didn't let that happen again. It happened against Meath in the league final. So that was something we were conscious of. So, look, we started off the better in the semi-final. So, you know, we were happy with that. And then once we got the couple of scores, you know, we kicked on and we got a lot of joy on the Cavan kick out. So they struggled to get in the game after that, and we just kind of kicked on. So look, I thought we were pretty, you know, efficient up front, and only conceded 110. I think we conceded, you know, 217 against Cavan the previous year. So maybe that shows a measure of the fact that we've tightened up a bit at the back. So look, you look for small wins and positives in different levels, but look, that's probably the two that's most pleasing.
You'll probably not get the same sort of joy this time around, will you, with the kickouts as you got the last day?
No, Anna Kiar is probably the biggest kicker in the country, to be fair to her. You know, she'll comfortably clear the halfway line, so it just call for a different approach from our perspective. Look, every day you go out, you look at the keeper in advance of the game, and you figure out where they're strong and where they're getting their joy, and you have to try and counteract that. So look, we felt that maybe the Cavan girl hadn't the biggest kick in the world, so look, we could push up on it and put a bit of pressure on her, and I say we got a lot of joy in it. But no, that'll not be the case this week. We'll have to go a different road, and but look, it's again something we feel we can get a bit of joy in, but it's just going to be a bit of a different approach.
Yeah, and you obviously have the quality of players within the squad, Max, when you have to tinker things that you're quite comfortable in doing that.
Yeah, look, and we've been together now 4 or 5 years, the majority of this group, so you know, we've had to play different ways and different days and against different opponents. So look, we feel we can maybe move from one to the other a bit freer than what we have done in the past, and I think the level teams are at now at the senior football level for the ladies, you know, the thing is very much analytical based, and you look very much at the opposition every day you go. So you know, the girls are well used to now analysing the opposition, and as they tailoring their approach, you know, depend on who they're playing and what kind of opponent they've got.
Yeah. I suppose my question is Karen Guthrie fit? And the next question is going to be, you'll have to start Suzanne White. That's more of a statement than a question right now. Obviously selection problems for you.
Thanks for fixing the team for me, Oisin. it's a lovely place to be for management. You know, and at any level, you'll always hear people saying it's the headache that every manager wants. Look, it is a headache for sure. Suzanne had a dream Dusty Championship debut the last day. You know, she kicked 2-3. I think she had 6 shots at the post and she scored 2-3. So you know, it was a brilliant day out for her. And yeah, look, we'll train again out later in the week, and we'll figure where people are at and how the injuries are coming on. And look, we still have a few niggles that we need to try and tidy up. So we'll see how they go. But look, I think we're looking pretty healthy for this one.
Yeah. Obviously, you suffered defeat at the hands last time out against Armagh in the final. Is that something that you keep reminding the girls of, Maxi? Is there that hunger there? Can you see it within the group that they want to right that wrong?
Oh yeah. Look, the Ulster Championship is still a brilliant competition and a very special one for anybody that's playing in it, whether it be the boys or the girls. You know, the provincial championships get a lot of scrutiny nowadays, and they, you know, they say that they're something that's dying off, but I think in Ulster that's not the case. And we were fortunate enough to win 3 on the bounce between 17, 18 and 19, and we didn't play in 20, and then Armagh caught us last year by a point, as you said. Look, last year was a bit of a freak of a game. There were 7 yellow cards, 7 sin bins. So you know, we had won, we had a girl in the bin after 20 seconds. It's completely disrupted our flow. You know, we conceded 2-4 in a 7-minute period, you know, when we were down to 14 players. As soon as Niamh Carr came on, Evan McGinley went off, so, and next thing, Armagh had 2 sent off. So it was a game that absolutely had no consistency. And you know, you talk about games taking on a life of their own, that was definitely one of those. And you know, the conditions were very wet on the day, and you know, I just don't think it was a reflection of where either team were at. It was just a horrible day to play football. And look, hopefully Sunday will be a bit better and we'll get a true reflection of where we're at.
Yeah, well, where do you think both teams are at the moment then, getting into this final, Maxi?
Look, both teams got to the National League final and came up short, which I'm sure, you know, they're as disappointed as we were. They were looking to get out of Division 2. They've been trying for a while. They got an All-Ireland semi-final a couple of years ago, you know, so they're a team that, you know, that fancy themselves and, you know, will hold no fear of us going into this one. Look, you know, we've made no bones about it. Our aspirations are high as well, and, you know, we feel this team's capable of beating anybody on a given day, and, you know, and in order to do that, we have to be, you know, being able to win matches like this. And, you know, last year, as I say, we came up short by a point, and, you know, that's frustrating and disappointing because the game was there for us. We, you know, we had plenty of opportunities to get that last score to bring it to extra time or get a winner. So look, I think we have matured a bit as a team. You know, the Dublin game showed that we didn't throw in the towel at that stage. We were 4 or 5 points down. So, you know, I think where we are developing, we're evolving. You know, the return of the likes of Yvonne and people like that, and the additions of the likes of Tanya Kennedy have strengthened our squad and our numbers. So we're you know, we feel now we have probably more options and are more adaptable than we ever were. So yeah, look, we feel that, you know, in order to be all our contenders, you have to be fit to beat all oncomers, and we feel that Armagh as a team is within our reach.
Yeah, the fact, if it comes to fruition at the weekend, you beat Armagh and haven't beat Dublin and haven't run Meath close, is that a big enough statement ahead of the All-Ireland series match?
Yeah.
Would it be a big enough statement?
Yeah, look, we beat Galway, you know, albeit a much weakened Galway in the league, and we beat Mayo, you know, we played Mayo as well. So look, we feel, you know, we've always felt that on a given day we can take anybody. We probably haven't had the consistency and put those kind of victories back to back. So that's something we're aiming for, to try and put that right. And I think as we get more mature as a team and a bit more experience, and, you know, that's the beauty of things like the double header the last day, when you're playing against, you know, in big crowds and big days like that, it adds to the occasion. And I've said it many times, you know, when you come out the other side of it, you're the better for it. So, you know, I think the occasions become less of an issue then, the more of them you play in. So look, the fact that we haven't even spoken, the fact that it's an Ulster final or anything like that, you know, our focus just firmly on Armagh and just trying to get over the line.
Okay, Maxi, wish you the best luck at the weekend, the final.
Thanks always, thank you.
Donegal senior ladies manager Maxi Kern speaking to me earlier this week. And don't forget, that game will be live here on Highland this weekend. Starts at 3:45. I'll be joined in commentary by Maureen O'Donnell. Elsewhere on the Gaelic Games front over the weekend, Nicky Rackard Cup final is on at Croke Park on Saturday. 3 o'clock is the start time to this game. Tyrone are taking on Roscommon, and we will have updates from Francis Mooney from that one, as Tyrone looked to go a step further than last year by lifting the Nicky Rackard title. They are, of course, in the final for a second consecutive year. To football now. In this week's Premier Division action, Fin Harps are on the road as they take on Drogheda United at United Park tomorrow evening, Friday. Harps are, of course, looking for a third win of the year in the battle at the bottom, while Derry City are hosting Dundalk at the Brandywell, and they could find themselves 7 points off the leader Shamrock Rovers, who are taking on UCD this evening. I've been looking ahead to what is a double weekend of fixtures in the Premier Division with a man that knows all about League of Ireland action. That's former Fin Harps player and manager Anthony Gorman. Defeat last week to UCD. Harps will be looking to right that wrong, because it turned out to be a hugely disappointing. That was a game that maybe you thought Harps might have picked up a third one of the season in, Anthony.
It was very disappointing, Oisin, because going into that game, you are expecting them that, you know, all along we've been saying that Harps are lucky this year that UCD are in the Premier Division, and, you know, they're so much inexperienced, and they've taken a lot of big defeats this season, UCD. So that was a real kick in the teeth for them. By all accounts as well, UCD played quite well in the first half and were worthy victors on the night, and Harps put a bit of pressure on them in the second half, but very disappointing. And it closes the gap to 2 points, which, you know, when we're almost halfway through the season, it gives UCD a wee bit of hope. So the next couple of weeks are going to be very important for Fin Harps and the challenge ahead for them to try and stay in the Premier Division.
Yeah, and what about the challenge next? Drogheda United, Keith Cowan and co there, just, of course, sitting above them in the table. What sort of test will Fin Harps face when they go to United Park on Friday, Anthony?
Well, the one thing about Drogheda, they've got good experience in the squad and they're very well organised. You know, their style of play sort of varies from three at the back to, you know, to back four. And you know, Keith Cowan's been integral to their good performance this season. He's been unfortunate with the few injuries he's picked up, and that has coincided with Drogheda dropping points. If we look back to the Drogheda performance against Dundalk, where they won 1-0, very well organised, very disciplined. Keith Cowan at the heart of the defence, organising, using all his experience. You know, Drogheda, they've been very unfortunate, I think, in the injuries that they've picked up. you know, notably Keith, obviously, but, you know, talking off air, Colin Whelan, you know, picked up a serious cruciate ligament injury last weekend. So it's an opportunity for Finn Harps, who, again, like Finn Harps traditionally are well organised and, you know, try and stay in games. So it's one of them games where Harps have to go into the game with a wee bit of hope, try and close the gap in UCD but, or Andrahada, but certainly don't let Drogheda widen the gap with a victory.
Yeah, Connolly's return a bit of a boost for Ollie, given the amount of injuries that he had, and McWoods is coming back as well.
Yeah, Ryan Connolly's is key to Finn Harps, you know, this season. With the experience he brings and his quality, like he's a real talented player, and he didn't play for Shamrock Rovers for nothing. It's important that Ollie can keep Connolly and Barry McNamee fit, especially as two of the most experienced, but also two of the most creative players that they have. You know, Connolly, he rarely has a poor game. Like he leads by example. He pops up with the occasional goal, and he's quite creative at time as well, which Harps certainly lack from play. You know, Harps are good from set plays. They've scored goals from set plays this year. And really, if you take Connolly and Barry McNamee, certainly out of the middle of the park, you know, they do lack that creativity.
Yeah. Going to Drogheda now with just two wins, sitting 2 points off the bottom and the table. Obviously, Ollie would have liked more points from home matches. That's not the case. Is this the game now that he has to have a real cut at it from the very start, given that they're away from home and there's a huge, intense battle at the bottom?
Yeah. I think, like, and watching Finn Harps over the years with Ollie in charge, like, they're never going to go out and try and win a game in the first half. Like, Ollie will be looking at the 90 minutes to score a goal to, you know, to pick up points. They've also 90 minutes in which to work hard and be organised and keep a clean sheet. So in terms of Ollie's his outlook towards the game, I don't see it changing much, but he certainly sees this as an opportunity where he can go and get something from the game. And it's imperative that if Harps are going to, if they're going to stay in the league this year, given what happened last week against UCD, they're going to have to go down with a positive mindset against Drogheda. And, you know, they certainly don't want to get beat. But, you know, certainly they'll be wanting to pick up some points and try and extend the gap between them and UCD.
Yeah, because 3 points could be very key this weekend, given that Drogheda on Monday night are taking on the defending champions Shamrock Rovers as well. So you could find yourself come next week maybe sitting tied with Drogheda United. So it could turn out to be a very, very important 3 points.
You could be, Ashin, you could be, come Monday night, you could be level with Drogheda. You know, and then going forward, then it gives you confidence. You know, the last, you don't want Drogheda, from a Finn Harps point of view, you don't want Drogheda extend their cushion to 6 points, because that's, you know, in League of Ireland terms, for a team especially like Finn Harps, with two victories all season, like, you know, it's very difficult to pick up 3 points in the League of Ireland. Especially, it's more difficult now given the fact, you know, the top teams, there's that big a gap between the top teams and the bottom. So going to Drogheda, it's certainly a game where they'll be thinking that they can get something from, but it's vital that they don't lose the game either, Ashley.
Yeah, we're talking here obviously on the presumption that tonight, Thursday, UCD don't beat Shamrock Rovers at the Belfield. That's a game that you would expect the defending champions to win. And is there a chance that maybe UCD could overtake Harps ahead of the game on Friday?
I don't see it, Ashin. You know, it was a massive one for UCD last week against Finn Harps. But to be honest, you know, UCD, they've shipped quite a few goals this year, and we've seen them getting beat 7-1 by Derry earlier on in the season. So Shamrock Rovers, you know, the quality that they have going into play UCD, relatively inexperienced, quality football in the way that UCD will approach the game, but, you know, you can't see anything other than a Shamrock Rovers one there.
Yeah. In relation to Harps again, I know I spoke to Declan Boyle last week, and we were talking about the two games against UCD and Drogheda United, and he said 4 points would be a very, very good outcome out of those two games. What would be a very good outcome in your mind, Anthony, on Friday night, Drogheda, and then hosting Dundalk at Finn Park on Monday night?
Well, I think given the fact, you know, Drogheda are ahead of them in the league, obviously, you know, stating the obvious here, it'd be great to go to Drogheda and get 3 points. But I think, you know, given the situation, Dundalk will come back into a bit of form now as well, actually. You know, they'll be looking at this weekend's fixtures, especially they play Derry on Friday night. You know, they can close the gap on Derry and push. You know, if they beat Derry, they go 4 points behind them and then go into the game at the weekend, then Sligo home to Derry, Harps playing Dundalk. You know, Dundalk will be looking at the next couple of games where they can close the gap to maybe 1 or 2 points on Derry City. But Harps, like, after last week's game, you'd be looking at saying, if they can avoid defeating the two games, it'll be a positive outcome for them. Because they need to start building a wee bit of... They need to start putting points on the board, actually, but they also need to start getting confidence from the games that they're playing. It's not nice as a footballer if you're losing games every week, and especially losing a game that people from the outside looking in are expecting you to win. So I think the state they're in at the minute, the position they're in, it's one very much one game at a time. If they go to Drogheda tomorrow night, don't get beat. Pick up a point. That's a very good point on the road. And then home game against Dundalk. Anything can happen on a given night.
Yeah, so a couple of draws would be good enough. But what about the goals? Harps have been shy of the goals this year, aren't they? So they haven't. When you're alluding to mentioning confidence there and trying to get a wee bit of momentum, a bit of confidence, obviously scoring goals is a huge part of that.
Yeah. Well, if you look back to the Shelburne game where they went to Talca and they won 3-0. You know, they defended really well that night, kept a clean sheet, but their set plays, you know, they I remember Connor Turish got his first goal of the season that night. Connor Turish had a massive threat from set plays. Ethan Boyle, big threat from set plays. You know, so the delivery, Harps have been very reliant on set plays the last couple of years. Going back to when Tony McNamee was playing with his long throws, which were very effective, you know. So Harps have to go back to basics and what Finn Harps are good at. Finn Harps have been good at the last couple of years, been very well organised, been very disciplined, and been reliant on set plays. Obviously, you've got that wee bit of creativity with Barry McNamee, Timlin if he plays, Ryan Connolly, but set plays are such a massive part in the game that's where Finn Harps are probably their best chance of scoring goals, because at the end of the day, you look at the goal scorers they've had, Mikhailovic, McWoods and Turish, both have, all three have 2 goals each. And then, you know, anybody else has scored just 1 goal. They've only scored 12 league goals this season, which is a worry. And they've conceded 25, which is very unlike them. So there's certainly not an awful lot of work for them to do. I think they will score goals. They'll continue to get the odd goal from set plays, but it's very important that they start keeping clean sheets, Oisin.
Yeah. Just moving on to Derry City, how would you sum up their form recently? Obviously, they were top of the table. They've lost that spot now to Shamrock Rovers. Shamrock Rovers tonight, if they beat UCD, will go 7 points clear at the top. A couple of draws in there for Derry, a defeat as well. Maybe the more experienced side of Shamrock Rovers coming through more in recent weeks than that of Derry, Anthony?
Yeah, I think Derry probably, you know, they got off to a brilliant start this season, and then, you know, it sort of come back to the game where they lost to UC or to Shelburne at home. You know, that sort of, you know, started a wee bit of a, maybe put a, cast a wee bit of doubt in the minds of the players. And then the last 7 games, they've only picked up 2 victories, and both them victories were one against UCD, one against Pats. You know, so Derry need to sort of push the reset button, Oisin. They've had a really good season so far, but at the end of the day, they're competing against Shamrock Rovers, and if they want to continue to challenge Shamrock Rovers for the league title, they've got to turn the draws, which has been 3 draws the last couple of weeks, they've got to turn them draws into victories, because you can't see, it's very difficult for teams to take points of Shamrock Rovers. And if you're looking throughout the league, Derry City will be looking to say who can challenge Rovers, who can take points off them if they're going to close the gap on them. and they've got to look after themselves. They've got to start picking up victories again, start picking up 3 points, and hoping that other teams will take points off Rovers. But I'm sure Rory Higgins in his first full season, he'll be quite happy with the way things have gone. He won't be disappointed that they've dropped so many points the last couple of weeks, but he'll be looking at this is his first full season in a job where he's probably looking at 2-3 years where we can develop a squad and build on it, because they have the resources now to challenge Shamrock Rovers. So quite a positive start for Derry, but obviously the last few weeks have been disappointing for them.
Yeah. And just moving away from the Premier Division of the League of Ireland, we're going to look at intermediate level. Bunnagee United have another big match this weekend. They're playing Maiden City in new buildings in Derry. Friday night, Anthony, it's the inaugural North West of Ulster Intermediate Cup, which the two leagues formed. It's been very, very competitive. There's been some excellent football on it. But Bunnagee very much still in the hunt for the treble on the cup front this season. What will it be like on Friday night, do you think?
It'll be a good game of football. Maiden City have had a good season. They've obviously got plans of pushing into the Irish League scene, be it Championship or Premier Division level. You know, they have ambitions. They're a well organised club. I remember a couple of years ago playing against them with Letterkenny Rovers, and good people about the club as well. So, and they're ambitious. Bunnagee have had a really good season. You know, they've challenged the Pushcock Hill all the way for the league, but obviously they just missed out in the end up. But the competition itself, we had been crying out for something like that, for more competition, the Ulster Senior League over the last number of years, because it was becoming a wee bit stale in the fact that with only 5-6 teams, you're relying on Derry City and Finn Harps reserves to keep the league going. So we needed something to freshen it up. We've had Monaghan United come into the league, which has been good. And this added competition of the teams from the north coming in has been excellent. And it creates more interest, and it gives clubs something more forward to look forward to, because, you know, you do get fed up seeing the same faces every week, be it the same players or the same officials, because that's what it is. It's such a small, compact league. So the extra competition has been great. Obviously, from a Letterkenny point of view, it's been disappointing from the point of view of having challenged this season or having pushed for the cups. But certainly, Bunnagee, it's a big challenge for them, and it's good. It'd be good for a local team to go into the north and pick up a piece of silverware, you know, for all the hard work that's gone into the season for them.
Yeah, and maybe a competition like this as well, will it or can it be a factor in encouraging more teams, Anthony, to come to the Ulster Senior League? Because obviously you said that they were relying very much on Derry City, and Finn Harps and Monaghan are in there. Over the next couple of years, is it imperative for the league to have more teams to become part of it, in your view?
I think this has been a progressive step, Oisin, having this competition with the teams from Northern Ireland. And it gives Bunnagee, Letterkenny, Cockhill, it gives them something more to look forward to. But I think long-term, Oisin, I think for the future of the league, I think that, now, I don't think it's going to happen with the Ulster Senior League or the Donegal League, but I think it has to come from a higher power, and that being the FAI, where, like, over the last number of years, like, I was looking at and trying to do a bit of homework on how we could develop the league. And you look at, say, for example, the Munster Senior League, where you've got 7 divisions. It's run by the one organisation, but the top 3 divisions are intermediate. The bottom 4 divisions are junior. So I think the way forward for Donegal, for Letterkenny Rovers, Bunnagee, Cockhill, is that they come under one umbrella with more teams, get Fannad back in, Swally Rovers, traditionally Ulster Senior League clubs, but under the umbrella that, you know, you can have promotion relegation, a top division of 10 clubs. It might encourage the Inishowen teams again, Buncrana, Cairn Donagh, who were stalwarts of the league for years. But I think I think people with a genuine affection and love for football in Ireland and our governing body, the FAA, have to take more of an interest in what's going on here. The Donegal League's been fantastic. An unbelievable amount of clubs in the league. It caters for all types of football, you know, from senior teams to reserve teams. It's a good breeding ground for young players coming through. Letterkenny Rovers have benefited this year with a progressive step for the youth players into the reserve team, which has been fantastic. But I think for the future of football in Donegal, ideally the two committees could get together and work on something. But I think ultimately it has to come from the top table, Oisin. It has to come from the FAA, where they've got to be strong to say, for the betterment of football in Donegal, we need a top division, which is intermediate. And if it's the Donegal League that's running it, or Ulster Senior League, whatever. But I think it has to happen. But we've been talking about it for quite a long time now, and nobody seems to want to grab the bull by the horns. And it's been left to Letterkenny, Bunnygee, Cockhill, supported by Finn Harps and Derry City Reserves. This season, obviously, Monaghan, to increase the numbers. But I just think that long-term, for the benefit of football in Donegal, we need an intermediate league in Donegal. And whatever format it is, but I think we definitely need more teams. I think the introduction of the competition this year with the Northern Ireland teams is a step in the right direction. But I think for the long-term survival of intermediate football in Donegal, I think that we need one division and everything under one umbrella. And I'd like to see something happen in the next season or two, Oisin.
Anthony Gorman talking to me earlier today about Harps and Derry, and an interesting view as well on the future of the Ulster Senior League. We did, of course, mention that Intermediate Cup final, the northwest of Ulster Intermediate Cup final, in that piece. 7 o'clock is the kickoff time to Bunnygee United against Maiden City in New Buildings tomorrow evening, a Friday. And then later at 7:45, Drogheda United against Finn Harps. We will have live regular updates on Highland with Dan Bannon as from that 7:45 kickoff. Just staying with news of Ulster Senior League, Monaghan United will take the place of Cockhill Celtic in the Ulster Senior League Cup final. At the USL executive meeting this week, it was deemed that Cockhill player Adam McCarron was cup-tied for the semi-final win over Monaghan, as he had lined out for Finn Harps under-21s in the group stage of the competition before his transfer to Cockhill. Last weekend's final was called off just hours before kickoff as the league started their investigation. Cockhill have accepted the punishment, which now brings their season to an end. Some other fixtures football-wise locally. In Inishowen, the Division 2 Shield final's on Saturday at McGinn Park at 5 o'clock. Buncrana are up against Illies in that final. Two big games on Sunday in the Donegal League Brian McCormick Cup final at the Diamond Park in Ballyar. Bunnygee United taking on Kildrum Tigers. Bunnygee, of course, chasing a double in the Donegal League as they go after the cup, and they do, of course, have the Premier Division title playoff to come the following weekend. And in the promotion relegation playoff, it's Rathmullen Celtic against Donegal Town on Sunday at 1. The winner there will be playing Premier Division football next season. To boxing, Brett McGinty's fifth professional middleweight contest on Saturday week has been moved from Birmingham to Doncaster. The Donegal native, who has a 4-0 record under the watchful eye of trainer Ricky Hatton, has endured a frustrating wait for his next bout. The 23-year-old had to withdraw from a December fight due to a shoulder injury. His return on Saturday, May 28th, was originally planned for Villa Park, but his team have switched to the VIP boxing show at the Doncaster Racecourse. Speaking to Highland Radio Sport this week, Brett says his injury has cleared up well ahead of the fight.
So far, so good, Oisin. Camps went really well. Obviously, the biggest worry was maybe a few niggles in the shoulder and the injury coming up again. But thankfully, it's all good. As I say, I had my last spar today there, a good 8-rounder. So everything's all good. Hey, I'm ready to go again. I was hoping to go 5-0 in December. Kind of felt like I was getting a bit of momentum, but obviously the injury knocked me back a bit. But all's good again now, and I'm looking forward to next weekend and hopefully making a 5-0.
Yeah. How frustrating was it at the time towards the end of the year that the injury happened? Because it didn't happen in a fight. Obviously, it happened in training. So it was hugely disappointing for you, Brett.
Very, very disappointing, actually, because, as I say, my career was sort of a bit stop-start anyway. Whenever I turned over pro, it was almost a year before I made my debut because of COVID, obviously. And then I was finally, as I say, getting a bit of momentum. I fought in May, I fought in September, I fought in November, and I had three good ones, and I was just about to make it, hopefully, well, I was hoping to make it a fourth good one in the space of a year before Christmas, and I was literally just a week out. It was my last hard session. My last hard session before we kind of tapered down for fight week, and I heard it on the body belt. Just the left hook to the body. Nothing landed awkwardly or nothing landed, you know, nothing really went wrong. It just, whatever way the shot landed, I ended up tearing two muscles in the shoulder, and it knocked me back quite a bit. I went and had to do intense rehab on it with JT Physiotherapy, Johnny there, and Kenny, who was great with me. And I have to say now, it was very frustrating, but thankfully everything went well. Johnny had me on a great program, and so far so good, and I'm looking forward to next weekend.
Yeah, so you have confidence back in the shoulder again then?
Absolutely, you know what I mean? The left hook's always been one of my big shots. It's probably one of my most hurtful shots. It's a shot I've relied on a lot, you know, throughout my career. And to be honest, whenever I started sparring, maybe towards the end of March and that, it wasn't just, the confidence just wasn't there, you know, to throw it at full power. But, you know, slowly but surely we built the confidence. And as I say, I'm back up to eight round sparring today, you know, not holding anything back, giving it my all, and everything felt good. So really looking forward to getting going again and hopefully getting that momentum back.
Yeah, change of venue for you. Might maybe explain the background to that, because we obviously heard a number of weeks ago that it was going to be at Villa Park underneath the Owens promotion, but that's not happening now. You're off to the Doncaster races. But what took place over the last couple of days that this had to be, the move had to be forced, Brett?
The change came, the show I was meant to be on, actually in Villa Park, is actually put back now until the middle of June. And, you know, realistically, I could have still fought middle of June, but I'm kind of peaking now, right around the time, you know, I've been training for this fight in the May now for a while, so it was kind of coming perfect timing. So we put it out there, you know, the Hennessy Sports, Ricky and Blaine, you know, they pushed to try and get me on another show on the 20th of May, because really it would have been perfect timing. Because as I say, I've been training now for a while, and thankfully they were able to get me on Steve Wood's show up in Doncaster, which I'm really grateful for, because I think it's coming just at the right time. As I was saying, I had my last spar of the day, feeling fit and strong. Another couple of days of tough training, and then we'll start tapering it down, and we'll be good to go for next week.
And it's all about making weight. And I know, Brett, that is something that you don't like. That's the one bit of the sport you don't like.
I wish they got it. It was just the fighting part we had to do. I would say, in my opinion, actually, it's the worst part about it. I would say there'll be many other boxers out there, I'll tell you the same. But next week's never too pleasant, but that's just one of them things. It's part of the game and it has to be done.
How many fights are you expecting, Brett, between now and the end of the year?
I'm not sure, Ashin. It just depends how everything goes. As I say, I was starting to build momentum last year. It was actually May last year as well. I had my first fight of the year, and I would have ended up with four, provided I hadn't got injured. So something similar to that this year. Maybe hopefully look to end the year, maybe 8-0, and then push on for maybe a title next year. As I said, like, I always would have liked to win an Irish title. You know, I won them in the amateurs, and it's something a lot of Irish pros don't really look at when they turn professional, but it's something for me I would love to do. And maybe, you know, the start of next year, towards the middle of next year, we can push towards it. Obviously that's a 10 rounder, so a bit of progress to be made between now and then, but I think I'll get there, and hopefully look towards an Irish title early next year.
And in relation to your opponent, it's going to be named now, or he's going to be named now in the next couple of days. What sort of opponent are you expecting, Brett? What are they trying to line up for you?
I'm not sure who it's going to be. Actually, it just depends, you know, the availability of people out there. Obviously, I'm moving back up to six rounds again now. So, I started with six rounds, and then I had a few four rounders, and I'm back up now again to six, which I'm very happy about. Now I feel I'm comfortable at, because, you know, it gives me more time to break my opponents down. So I'm not sure who's going to be now. There's a lot of shows going on at the minute, you know, around the Northwest and around England. So it's just really whoever's out there. But whoever it is, I'll be ready for them, and I'm really looking forward to it.
So yeah, listen, Brett, it's good to get back into the ring again, and a big night for you again in Doncaster next week. But further down the line, Mr. Ricky Hatton, the man that's been training you very, very hard in recent months, is going to make a return to the ring for an exhibition bout. Is it going to be flipped? Are you now going to become the sparring partner maybe for Ricky Hatton over the next number of months?
I think so, actually. Me and Brad, one of the lads I live with over here, trains a long ways in the gym. I think me and him is going to be tasked with the job of sparring him up for his fight on the 2nd of July. I have to say, he's taking it very serious now. We went from being trained by him to being trained to be training alongside him. He's dropped a lot of weight quickly. He got himself into shape, and he's really got the head down. It's crazy how quickly he's got himself into shape. So we're looking forward to that. Not so much looking forward to sparring him now, I have to say, but we're looking forward to seeing what he can do again. And I have to say now, he's definitely got himself in shape, and he's taking it very seriously.
Yeah. Can you still see it maybe when he's doing a bit of training? He still has the magic touch, does he?
He's still got that drive anyway, I can tell you. You know, he's he gets the head down, and he fairly puts the work in. We can't get over how every day he comes in, it looks like he's just shedding pounds every day. He's making weight. He makes weight a lot easier than the rest of us. But fair play to him. As I say, we were sort of wondering, you know, whenever the fight came about, was it going to be, you know, were they going to take it serious and what it was all going to be about? But to be fair, that he's putting the work in, and we're looking forward to seeing him back in action.
Good stuff. Listen, Brett, good to talk to you as always, and the best of luck next week in Doncaster.
Cheers, Ashley. Thank you.
Brett McGinty looking ahead to the action. His next fight in Doncaster next weekend. Just some other things happening over the course of the weekend. T20 Cup, Northwest Cricket. There's 5 games to be played on Friday. Burndenetik on Fox Lodge. Brigade up against Kelly Clooney. Bonds Glen meets Durban. New Maldeans take on Dunamana. And Ardmore will face off with Ballyspallin. The Aiken Brothers Brian James Trailer Stages Rally will take place on Saturday, hosted by the Maiden City Motor Club. A lot of Northwest men involved. The top seeds are Desi Henry and Donegal man Paddy Robinson. Also included amongst the seeds is Cahill McCourt and Johnny Greer, Derek McGarrity and Donna Kelly, as they fill the top 6 positions. There's a host of crews, all from the Northwest, taking part in that event, and they hope they will, of course, be continuing with their preparations ahead of Donegal, which takes place in the 3rd weekend in June. In snooker, Ronan White and Amal Goel will return to Carlo this weekend, as the Donegal duo have qualified for the final phase of the Irish Senior Snooker Championship. This coming Saturday, White will play the number 7 seed, Noel Launders, while Goel will go up against number 2 seed, Ryan Cronin. And the Seven Sisters Skyline Mountain running event organised by Donegal company XL Sports will be held in Dunluce on Saturday. The event, which has 2 distances, 30 kilometres and 55 kilometres, has now become a World Cup event. The race takes in the 7 peaks from Muckish to Errigal, providing competitors with challenging climbs and terrain, as well as stunning views. The World Mountain Running Association have included the 30k event as the first race in their World Cup calendar. It's one of 17 races around the world. There are only 5 World Cup silver label races held in 5 countries, and Donegal is one of those 5 as well. So it's going to be tough, but they're coming from all corners of the world to take part in the mountain running in Dunluce on Saturday. And that is it from the Highland Radio Sports Desk for today. Hope you enjoyed the Score programme. Remember, if you missed any of the show, you can recap by going to the sports section of highlandradio.com. Chris Ashmore is back with the next bulletin tomorrow morning.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, now stocking the new Donegal GAA home jersey at michaelmurphysports.ie.